Everybody get a copy this afternoon and we'll begin. Go with it. What I'm going to ask you, we're going to finish it up. I had four simple points straight from the Scripture on how to love God. Very simple. God's Word, it's not complicated. It's a very simple process. Four simple things. You love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. It's what God requires. That is loving God. That's what it is. Each one of those I broke down in a couple areas. I shared it before. You will see an overlap. In some of these, you might say, well, Brother Emery, that would have probably been better under loving God with all your heart versus under loving God with all your mind. But it's almost hard and impossible to separate it. Because if you do that, you separate you. Because you are, it is your heart, it is your mind, it is who you are, your faculties, your strengths. And so some of them may overlap. And to be honest, I think some of them can be applied in more than one way. I believe they can be shared in these areas. Let's just read the Scripture, please, in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Have enough. All right, good. Everybody need a copy? Two more. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. Why don't somebody read that for me all the way down to verse 30, 28 through 30. The first commandment he gives is very simple, to love God. That's it. The second one is like it, to love your neighbors. Love God, love your fellow man. I've really honed in on this study and the very first one of these commandments, these two great commandments that the Lord hangs it, is this, love God. Eventually, Lord willing, I wish to get to the second one on loving your neighbor and do the same study with it as it is, but you first begin right here. This is the first one. You can't get to the second until you got the first one. Until you realize that your whole love has got to be to God. You can't love God equal on the same plane as anything else. God takes first in everything. In your marriage, in your church, in your relationships one to another, in your work, in your home, in your job, no matter where you are, Jesus Christ must take first. He has preeminence of all things. And the way that you do that, the way you demonstrate it, again, I'm not going to go through them all, but one is with all your heart. The second one is with all your soul. And the third is with all your mind. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do here this afternoon is really help me out on this fourth one, because you're going to have to give me all your strength. Because you're going to go to sleep on me. The rain on the roof and the food in your belly and going hard this morning, you're going to get tired on me. So I'm going to have to ask you to do this very thing and love God this afternoon with all your strength, because you're going to need it. Hallelujah. All right. I broke it down. To be honest with you, I'm not going to keep you long this afternoon. I'm not going to be labored. If you have some questions or comments or you want to interject anything at any time, feel free, but I'm going to kind of roll through it. I don't want to belabor it. I also don't want to just skim through it as well, but I wish to look at that. And I do want to read you a quote I thought was wonderful in my study of studying about love. An ancient author in the late French's King's Library, under the word love, he had this definition: a pleasing surrender of friendship to a friend. A pleasing surrender of friendship to a friend. An identity or sameness of soul. I thought that was really good. Because how can two walk together unless they agree? If you are not willing to surrender your friendship, surrender all to God, there will be no friendship. And the Bible says that He will stick with you closer than a brother. He'll be there when no one else wills, but that means you've got to surrender all that you are to Him. If you're not willing to do that, there's a lot of people, Brother John, that I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to surrender my friendship. because they would trample it in the dirt. I think friendship is something to be honored and cherished, and I don't take it lightly. That's why when something a little bit goes cross in a friendship, you don't throw one another out with the bathwater. You work through it. You got to do it. But there's a love will surrender your friendship. That means that you're open for trample. It's that simple. You know, one of the things that I have learned in eldership and am learning, that when a man is allowed to have the authority and share in that authority, that means that someone gets to make a decision. And the problem is often is, was the decision acceptable to the others? Now, we're all standing judgment. But if that decision may not be wrong entirely, but goes differently than the way you went, that's where friendship and love comes in. I may have done that differently. They're not wrong in its nature, but you have to see that there's a surrender of it. Now, with God, we surrender everything. He's always right. We're always wrong. And that's what we do to Him. We surrender all of our love to God, and God will always lead us correct because His love is strength. All right. Broke it up in four sections. One who exerts all of his power, all of his body, his soul, to the services of God. I like to look at this first one. To love God with all your strength, it means to yield your talents and your abilities to God. We're going to be looking in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12 through 16. We'll go there, as well as in Peter 4. I believe that was 1 Peter, I believe that is. Don't hold me that one. Let me get there. 1 Peter chapter 4. Thank you. That's what I was thinking. I couldn't remember which one had and which one didn't. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8 through 11. And then we'll be looking into Scripture in Galatians chapter 6. To give all of your abilities, to yield all your talents to God. If someone gets it, start reading. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12 through 16.
Let no man despise by you. Repeat out an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Paul writes to Timothy, and I know this specifically addresses Timothy's call to the ministry, the gifts that God has given unto Timothy to minister the Word, to share with the Word, and to teach and instruct in that Word. That is Timothy's gift. But I'd like to ask you this afternoon, what talents has God given you? What has the Lord given? What abilities do you have? And I encourage you this afternoon, don't neglect them. If God has given you something and a talent that you can help and reach out, loving God with all your strength means you take those abilities and you don't neglect them. It's one thing to say that I love God and you are actually someone who is a good conversationalist and then never use it. Never take the opportunity to go to somebody and to give them good counsel or to go to someone to their home and to have, or maybe you're a good cook, to provide a meal to somebody. Maybe you're really good at cleaning. You ain't a good conversationalist. Or to be able to go to someone and say, hey, I know you've had a sick week and there's been an illness in your family. I'd like to just take a moment and clean your living room. I'd like to vacuum and dust and go in and do something. And one, you know the hard part about that is letting them. How many would be willing to go and clean someone's house, ladies or men, either one? Who would be willing to do that? Now, how many, honestly, how many of you want them to come to your house to do it? All right, guys. It's amazing. You know, it's for true Christians, I don't know why it's often easier to give than it is to receive. I don't like that. I feel uncomfortable. But there are people. Now, I know this is going to sound really bad, but I'm telling you, there are some people who are gifted at receiving. They really are. I mean, it's because there. You ever had somebody that you gave to and you walked away wishing you'd gave them more? I have. You walk away thinking, man, I've helped this guy. I wish I did more. And you walk away, you take him as the Lord lays a gift on your heart, and you give it to this person, you walk away thinking, wow, I wish I'd have done more. Then there's some people you walk away and you give it to them, and you're saying, man, I wish I wouldn't have gave him nothing. Wish I could take it back. There are some people that are very gifted at receiving. Do you know that's part of the Christian walk? Now, we're often, and I know this is a little contrary to the oftentimes going out and giving, because we've got a lot of instruction and teaching. But for someone to give, someone's got to be able to receive. That means, and it's more humbling for someone to walk in and clean your commode than it is for you to go clean theirs. That is for a true Christian. I'll just put it that way. That's tough. For someone to walk into your home and help you, you're like, man, I wish they didn't have to do that. But on the same token, we're all ready to go do that. We need to be people that are very comfortable that our talents are usable. It's one thing for us to have talents among each other and not be able to share them with each other. I mean, I know Brother John, I know they do. I hate to put you on the spot, Brother John, but they hate to have us, and they're so thankful, those men that can work, Brother Woods, and to go in and labor, they hate that. Because that's what true Christians are. They ain't no different than the rest of us. The rest of us hate for someone to have to come do that, but in the same token, you're so glad they do. You need the help. It's just we're all there. And at some point, we've got to set back, and loving God with all your strength means you've got to receive as well as give. Now, on the same token, we've got to be willing to... And that's why it's easy for this congregation to go the other way, because I don't have to tell this church so much about going out and do it. We're ready to do it. We're willing to give the necessity of the saints. We're willing to go out and labor. In the same token, you've got to be willing to let us come in. Mm-hmm. And I know that goes across the board. Mm-hmm. I really do this afternoon. And so what we have to do is, when God gives us an ability, God gives us an instruction, we've got to yield ourselves to that. So that in the same, let me put it this way. If you're a good cleaner, you might have to be a little forceful. How many of you would like to see the days that come back again where people just come in and sit down and have a cup of coffee? You don't worry about nothing. You come in, hey, I just baked a loaf of bread. I'd like to have some homemade jam and a piece of hot bread and a cup of coffee. Sure, we would like to get back to those days. But that means you've got to let them come in your home. Well, that means you might come in and find my laundry all over. Mm-hmm. You might come in and my house is in disarray, or there's homeschool books all over. My yard hasn't been mowed, or this hasn't happened, or that hasn't happened. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, amen.
We've got to be willing to take our talents and our times, and the only way we can get back there is if we just plain out surrender our rights, forget about that, let's get together and have a good time. I don't know how else to say it. I think that's kind of plain myself. That's just where we are. We've got to get back to that. I grew up in that kind of an atmosphere where people would come in, you'd be sitting. I thought it was wonderful. I went to visit Sister Alma not long ago, and I went in, and she's doing her laundry. And she's pulling out her laundry and sitting right there where I'm drinking a cup of coffee. She's doing her laundry. Well, praise God, this is the way it should be. But it's come to a place where now when they come, it's hurry up and hide under the bed and get this done and do that so we can get there. We don't need to do that, church. We need to be a people that can receive as much as we can give. Does that make sense? All right. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 through 11. Somebody grab it and go.
And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover up the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
I thought this was a perfect passage of Scripture because it deals with hospitable love and ability, all within the same context. We have to have fervent love. Above all things, that's what he says, above all things, having fervent charity among yourselves. For love, or charity, covereth a multitude of sins. Then he tells us, what do we do? How do we handle that love? What do we do with that love? We do it hospitably. Not grudging one another. Not to receive. Not out of ill will, not out of ill gain, but because we want to be hospitable. We want to be social. We want to do the right thing. We want to reach out. Now, what do you do with that? You've got to take the verse 11 says, let him do it as the ability that God is giving. The abilities, your talents, what God has laid upon you, use that love, use those talents with hospitality and give it, not grudgingly. We've got to be able to become a people that can take our talents and use them. I tell you, I know this may not, to be honest, it may not hit our church, and then some of you it may. Because this church is good at reaching out. I'm telling you, I really feel that. I believe that we have strived, and it hasn't come without preaching. It hasn't come without teaching or instruction or years of encouragement of saying, hey, this brother's got this problem, do it. This brother's got this, do it. We need to be able to do that. In the same way, I'm going to go back to it again. I'm going to say it one more time. I don't know why I kind of got this direction this afternoon. But you got to let us. There's got to be a time where you can let your brothers come in. If they got to give. You know what it is? The Bible says that you're going to be a blessing if you're going to give. I don't know why I'm going back here. I just really feel the need to do it, to share it. If you want to get a blessing and God will pour out the windows of heaven, God does that through men. It's the way He does it. It's like the little woman with the bread. Remember that little story? How the woman was crying at her window, Lord, send me a loaf of bread, send me a loaf of bread. And the little ornery boy of the neighborhood was outside and heard her. He goes and buys her a loaf of bread and brings it, puts it at her doorstep. The little woman says, oh, thank you, Lord, that you brought me a loaf of bread. And the little boy jumps out and says, Lord didn't bring you that bread, I did. He said, well, the Lord provided it, even if the devil had to deliver it. See? That's the way it works. What happens is you've got to be willing to accept that money. You can't receive a blessing if you hold it back. I can't receive my... It's blessing to give. God, if I give and pour out and help, God will bless me for doing that. Right. My effort. But that means somebody's got to receive that blessing. Somebody's got to receive that help. We've got to take our talents and use it one for another. Galatians chapter 6 reads like this. Verse 12. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ.
Yeah.
There it is. If we're not willing to share and to bear, then you don't love God with all your strength. Now, I know this seems such far a comparison. We say, I love God with all my strength. What does that mean? It means you've got to take all of your energy, all your abilities, all your talents. The word strength is the word power. It's all your energy, everything that makes up your strength, your abilities, your whatever. Here you go. I'm repeating here. Forgive me. And use it for the glory of God. I'd like to read this. He who loves God with all his strength exerts all of his powers, his body, his soul, in the service of God. Who for the glory of his Maker spares neither labor nor cost. Who sacrifices his time, his body, his health, his ease for the honor of God and his divine Master. Who employs his service, all of his goods, all of his talents, all of his power, all of his credit, all of his authority, all of his influence for the glory of God. Wow.
Hallelujah.
To love God with all your strength. Let's look at this second one. Hallelujah. In comment, question.
Thank you, Jesus.
B says, to love God with all your strength, you yield your body in the service of the Lord. Not only your talents, your abilities, but also your physical body. Romans chapter 6, please, in verse 11. Let's actually start over here with you, Brother Steve Mitchell. One verse at a time, verse 11, Andrew, verse 12, right back through the congregation to verse 23, please. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 11 and ending up at verse 23.
Likewise, let you also be dead, yourselves to be dead in the same love to God, which you despise by the
God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness.
Yes.
What then shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? fact that you were a servant of sin, but you have a right from the heart on the doctrine that you have been used.
Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness.
I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural self, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteous, leading to holiness.
So when you were the servant of sin, you were free from righteousness.
But who have you been in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death.
Now being made free from sin, become servants of God, and have your fruit of the calling to be made of us.
I think it's pretty explanatory. What you once used your body for in sin, you've got to take that same energy and use it for the glory of God. Pretty simple. Your body has got to be used in the kingdom of God. Somebody give me an example how you've done that this week. How have you taken? Where he says, know you not that you're the servants of sin to obey, and his servants are to whom you obey, either what sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But thank be to God, you were the servants of sin. You have obeyed from the heart, and that form of doctrine was delivered unto you. You were made free from sin. Verse 13 says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What's the instruments he's talking about here?
Body, your hands, feet, your eyes, your mouth.
Your physical body. It's your instruments. It's your body. It's who you are. It's your physical body. How? Somebody give me an example how you've done that this week. How have you delivered yourself, your body, unto the Lord?
Well, I used to serve myself in sin, and now I try to serve others. I drink for others. I go for others. And whatever the Lord would have us to do, that's, instead of doing what we want to do, we do what the Lord wants.
Anybody else? Somebody else give me an illustration. Let me give you my illustration. Maybe it'll help you. I built cabinets this week. I took my hands and I cut out plywood. I assembled them. I put them together and I worked hard in my shop. Another thing I've done this week, I got down on my hands and knees and I prayed. Somebody else? Somebody give me an illustration. How have you yielded yourself this week to God?
I cooked a cake and carried it just as God ordered.
There you go. Somebody else? I'm not trying to get you to pat yourself on the back. I really ain't. I mean, I'm not doing it just to pat you on the back. We're commanded to yield our bodies as instruments to God. We do that, and sometimes it has become so routine for us, we don't even think about that as that. But to love God with all your strength means you yield your body to God. This body is taking the energies. Did it take energy to make that cake? Sure did. I'm telling you what, it was hot in my shop this week. I sweated like crazy going out there cutting that plywood and pulling it all out and dragging it around. I worked hard for my family this week and for the glory of God to bring honor so that I could provide for others. Not only did I do that, when I come this week, I took the money that I received from those jobs and I gave it to other people. I wanted to put it into missions to help somebody else. I yielded myself, my body, as an instrument to God. Who else did something this week? What else did you do?
I made a cake for the teachers at the Bear House Harvest School.
How'd you yield yourself this week?
I prayed out of my Bible.
I'm not asking for a trick question. What'd you do this week, Bill Woods?
We don't have time. No, I got out of bed.
That's good.
Everything you do, not just those special things we do.
Exactly.
If you wash dishes, you do it for God.
Thank you.
If you mow your grass, you do it for God.
Yes.
All of life is a service to Him. And if you give your body to Him, you give everything, because your mind is in your body. Your soul's in your body. Your body is all of you, and it's right, it's your strength. But when you give it, that is giving everything.
Yes.
Because everything you are, you do it in your body. And your whole life becomes, you ought to get up every morning. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? And you know, you got a schedule, you're going to work. Those are things you know you're going to do. And just like you said, you work. We sometimes don't consider that, we quote, secular work. I don't like that term. But for our understanding, we think that that's not important. No, that's just as important
that's right.
as anything else. If Heidi got up and helped Mom, she helped clean the kitchen, whatever she did, she did her schooling. If it's righteousness, we oughtn't to be sinning.
That's right.
So whatever you did ought to be a righteous act unto the Lord God.
Yes. That's my point. I want you to tell me it didn't have to be. Sometimes we have to look for this special thing when we come to church. We get on our church mindset. We put on our church thinking cap. When we go home, we put on our resting cap. When we go to work, we put on our secular hat. We don't need to do that. You need to put on your Christian cap and praise the Lord everywhere you go. And what we do is everything we do is under the glory of God. We yield our bodies. That was my point. Exactly what Brother Wood shared was my point. Hoping you to think, this is what I did today. Getting at anything, whether we live, we move, and breathe. I mean, all you had to said was, I breathed today. I took a drink of water today. I mean, I walked to the church today. I done this. Anything that you've done was yielding your strength to God. But you need to see that. If you take a step out of bed of a morning, you said, man, thank you, Lord, for the strength that I can love you with. Yeah. When you walk into the kitchen and you open the door and you stand there and you're not sure what you want, you shut it and you walk away. Lord, thank you for the strength to open the refrigerator door. That's what you need to do. We love God with all of our strength. Every activity, everything that we do, we don't need just to have a mindset that says, well, if I do some special event or special thing, that's loving God with all my strength. Not the case. That's just part of your duty. That's just part of the requirement. You love God with all your strength in everything that we do. You once yielded your members to unrighteousness, now you yield them to righteousness. Am I making any sense?
Amen.
All right. You got your thinking caps on now. All right. Any other comments? Something else you want to say? Yeah, all right. That's right. That's good. That's good. We need to be available. We need to yield. Taking ourselves and just sometimes being there is encouragement. That's what I'm going to do next week with Brother Woods. I'm going to be there to encourage that man because they're going to be talking all around me. And I'm going to be there to listen, to feel, to go forward. Why, Brother John? I've thought about that. I'll use this, my personal illustration. When I get down there, I'm telling you, when I get to the Dominican Republic, I'm going to be as lost as anyone ever was lost. Mm-hmm. I cannot understand nothing of the language. I get into a service, and they get up and they preach and they preach. But there's one thing I know when the presence of God comes in the room. I can feel it. I can feel the presence of God. And what I have to do is look for an area. I'm telling you, Brother John, when you're in that setting, it's easy to just sit back and kind of funnel your way into a corner and stand there and observe and look and be an ongoing observer and not a participant in the services and in life. We do that at work. We do that on our jobs. We do it at Walmart. It's easy to back up and just sit back and be a very quiet observer. But we need to be a people who are willing to get in there. And I'm praying, God, show me something. I led a young girl in Mexico and in Rio Bravo to the Lord. I had no idea. I had no idea what she said. I couldn't lead her in no sinner's prayer, Brother John, because I couldn't speak the language. I could not speak the language. But I looked at her. Here's a young girl standing there wearing jeans, jewelry, all, the whole nine yards, sinner from the get-go. The whole full expression. But there was one thing I saw. The power of God convicted her and the tears are flowing. And her eyes looking out saying, I need help. Now, I had two options. I could sit back and say, I'm not going to do nothing. I can't help her. Who am I? What can I do? I can pray all day long. She ain't going to understand. What good am I going to do? She ain't going to know me when I pray. Or I can go pray and let the results be to God. And that's what we did. And when we began to pray, she cried and just began to weep to the Lord. And I'm praying in English and she's praying in Spanish as hard as we both can go. And the power of God falls. She stands up later and tells how she gave it. She really appreciated me praying with her. And the power of God fell. Well, she had no clue, fly the moon, what I said to her. But she knew what the presence of the Lord was. If we're not willing to yield ourselves in situations, you can sit back and you can wrestle it in your mind and say, I'm not going to be effective. This is not my area of expertise. I'm not going to be effective here. Or you can say, I'm going to do what Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 6 and yield my body as an instrument of righteousness to God and let the results be to God. Because that's what it means to love God with all your strength. You give yourself to God. Amen.
Amen.
Any other comments? That's good. Let's go to the next one. To love God with all your strength means you must with energy and forcefulness become a doer of the word. James chapter 1, please. We quit back here with some of the young O'Connor girls. I believe I heard their voices when they were reading. And we'll pick right back up there. We're going all the way down to verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 17 through 25. And we'll just float right around to the church. Who read last? All right. So whoever needs to read, just keep right on rolling. Doing a good job. I think they're still looking for it. It's all right. I think you got the wrong one. If is that the wrong one?
She's on 25. She's back to 17.
Okay, go back to verse 17. There you go. Variableness. You're all right. You're doing good. Keep going. Very good.
Superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls.
But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For if he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightforth forgetteth what manner of man he was.
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
To love God with all your strength means you hear it and then you do it. If a person hears and doesn't do, he does not love God with all of his strength. Because it takes energy to love God. It takes power. It takes effort. It takes work. If you're not willing to work hard for God, then you don't love God with all your strength. I see so many Christians who love being Sunday Christians. They love going to church. They love going in. As a matter of fact, I think they're not. We can't even call them Sunday Christians anymore. We call them Sunday school Christians because they like going. I mean, there's a church next to my house. They go at 6, and by 6:35, 6:40, they're leaving. I mean, I'm thinking, I would not waste the gas to get there. I mean, it's just that simple. I would not waste the gas to get there. And it's just sad because they're hearers of the Word and not doers. Because we need the instruction, and we need to be people that when you hear it, you've got to put it into effect. How many of you are seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Be a hearer and a doer of the Word means you got to keep seeking. That means that's how you love God with all your strength, is by seeing the need, seeing what you need to do, and going after it. Hearing it, hearing the instruction. If you don't enact on what you've heard, all you are is a man that looks in the mirror and turns away, and 5 seconds later you forgot who he was. It's one thing for the preacher to get up and preach it and 5 minutes later forget about what it all is and be all excited. Yeah, praise God, we're coming out of the rut and we're going to Canaan, and next week you don't even hear what the man said. That's not a doer of the Word. That's not giving all your strength to God and coming forward and saying, I'm going to put an effort to what I'm hearing. Man. If you don't do that, I'm telling you. I'm telling you straightforward, you're not loving God with all your strength. It's that simple. Because the man that truly loves God with all of his energy, with all of his efforts, with all of his power, with all of his body, is going to hear that word, hear that instruction, and they're going to act on it. They're going to respond to it. They're going to give themselves to it until they reach that goal. You know the good part? After you get that one, you're going to get another one. And you're going to have to get that one. And when that's done, you're going to find something else. And you're going to keep on going. That's the way it is. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. We are always growing in God. We're always hearers and we always must be doers. Sad part is, Brother John, we get tired. We get wore out. We get ourselves in a routine. It's what we've been fighting here lately. What is it? Lethargy? I've been trying to learn some of these better words. It's when you get a little lazy in what you're doing. You know, a little, you get yourself to where you become lackadaisical. You're setting back. You're becoming idle in what's happening in life. I'm telling you, that's not loving God with all your strength. You've got to make the effort. You've got to go forward. And I'm telling you, I'm not condemning. Please don't feel condemned. I'm just telling you this because it's what we have to do. We get to a place where, brother, you just don't know. This has happened and that's happened. I may not. And I may not experience it what you're at now. But God can help you. God can give you the strength. God never requires something of us that He does not give us the strength and the ability to do it. Plain and simple. And God has helped me. How many of you have received strength here today to become a doer of the Word? Just one more this afternoon. Yes, sir.
Well,
if
you're talking about, here's something you do as you follow through on. The same chapter of James, it said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not.
It is sin. That's right.
If you were to preach something and tell us something that God says we're to do, we say amen, praise God, and we go out and we don't do that. That's a slap in God's face. We're telling God, we know that you told us to do this, and we're just not going to do it.
Yes.
We refuse to do it. We're never going to do it.
Yes.
The Bible says it's sin to hear something and then refuse to do it. To know that you should do it and then not do it, it's a sin.
If you come to a place that you have heard it, you understand it, and you ultimately reject it. You openly refuse to do what you've called, what God has called you to do, and you understand the concept. There's one thing to hear it and not understand it, where you need a little bit more information, or you need a little more instruction, or you're not quite sure. That's one thing. But when you come to a place that you know exactly what that man's talking about, you know it's right, the Holy Ghost has confirmed it to your spirit, and you don't do it, you're walking on a super, super dangerous ground and sinning against God. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Any other comment? You know, there's a lot more to loving God than people think. It's just that simple. It takes more than just saying, oh, I love God. I'm so weary of that. These past months and even looking and going through these studies, and this is a very, very basic study, a very surface study. But I hear so many people say, oh, I love God. You talk to them on the street, everybody loves God. The drunk loves God. The alcoholic loves God. The fornicator, the sodomite loves God. Everybody loves God. No, you don't. If you love God, you would obey His laws. You would do what's right. You love Him with all your soul, mind, and strength. This is the key.
I heard a long time ago that, love isn't a feeling. Love is an act of your will.
Yes, it is.
Love your wife. Maybe times you don't feel that love with your wife. But it's an act of your will. It's something you will to do. It's not a feeling we go by. And loving God is the same way. There comes times in your life you may not feel like loving God. Mm-hmm. It's an act of your will. You will to do what God wants you to do. That's right. Shows your love.
There, and going along with that, just a practical application of what Brother Steve just said in loving God with all your strength, you come to this church and you don't feel like singing. I'm telling you, there was a pile of you this morning that did not feel like worshiping. Mm-hmm. If I ask you to raise your hand, I know you, and you was honest with me, I could see it in your faces. I could feel the Spirit. I'm not telling you, I don't even know why. Maybe it was simply because you was tired. Maybe you hadn't rested. Maybe you've been sick. Maybe someone died. I don't know why it was there. I'm just telling you, you wasn't ready to worship. But loving God with all your strength means you do it anyway. And that's tough. That's where it's hard. That's where it gets down. Or maybe you got in a big argument with the wife before you come. I don't know what happened. And you get in those situations, or the husband, how are the kids, or whatever it might be. You come to church, it's hard to worship in that atmosphere. What do? You begin to love God with all your strength. You begin to yield your instruments to God. You begin to take your talents and abilities. And if you can't sing very good, you sing loud anyway. Because you love God. And you give everything you are to the glory of God.
Really, even if your hands are cold, you start rubbing together, it gets a little equal there after a while.
That's right.
It's the same way it works in God. You're a little cold and indifferent, but you're just part of you to tell the
truth. Yes.
You honor that because you're honoring Him, you're honoring Him with His blessing.
Exactly right, Brother Al. You draw close to God, and there He is. It's amazing. The closer you draw to God, guess what? He's automatically close because He's right there. He's ever present. He's ready. And all you, Brother Wood said it right in a little different way this afternoon. Just call on the name of Jesus. Just begin to praise Him, thank Him for His wonderful grace. Just won't you start rubbing your spiritual hands together, and you'll start feeling warm and fuzzy all over. I promise you. Hallelujah. That's right. Any other comment? That's good. Appreciate it.
I like this comment here with energy and forcefulness. Even the word aggression. We've got a world out there that is aggressive in sin. We need to be aggressive in righteousness.
Yes.
And they're aggressive to do and speak and live in their mess. We need to be aggressive to do the right thing.
That's right.
And sometimes the easy thing to do in church is just to sit there. Yes, you are tired. Your mind is distracted. But that's where the love kicks in. Okay, it's duty time. Get the mind where it needs to be. Get the hand up and praise God, because God's worthy of your praise. And whatever it is, you have to take. But if you'll take the first step, God will meet you. If you'll reach out there. And with, you know, the kingdom suffers violence, the violent take it by force. There's an element of violence and aggression in Christianity that's lacking today.
That's right.
We need it.
Got to go after it.
Got to take, so to speak, the old saying, the bull by the horn. You know, just latch a hold and say, hey, I'm going to do this. That's not hypocrisy. That's reality.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like praising God. Well, the Bible doesn't say praise Him on the basis of your feelings. Praise Him because He's worthy.
That's right.
Praise Him because He's honorable.
Yes.
Praise Him because He's holy.
Amen.
No matter how I feel.
Yes.
That's what's right.
We would never receive anything from God if we treated our employers the way we treat God. We'd never receive any paycheck ever. Because we would go to work and we'd say, well, I'm tired now. I'm just going to sit here a while.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I've had a long Sunday. I had a long weekend. Saturday was rough on me, and Sunday the preacher preached long. So I think I'm just going to go to work, and I'm just going to sit down here and enjoy all these people coming and going. That's what I think I'm going to do, is relax. You wouldn't receive a paycheck.
Yeah.
But we want to do that to God. We want to come in and say, well, it's been a long week, and I'm tired, and I had to put up with all this, so I'm just going to come here and just relax a while and feel good and hear these Pete good singers sing and just enjoy it and have a good meal. I'm going to feel good. I'm telling you, you don't get anywhere. You're not loving God with all your strength. I'm telling you, there ain't a person in here that hasn't done that. There ain't a person in here that hasn't been there. I'm not condemning you. I'm not even, you know the old saying about glass houses? Sometimes I hate, I'm not casting a stone because I live in the biggest glass house on the hill. But I'm telling you, we've all got to do this principle. Take a hold of the altar by the horns and say, I don't care how I feel, I'm pushing through it. That's how you get out of the rut. That's how you get strengthened. That's how you prove to even yourself. It's how you muster up the strength to say, I'm not going to sit here until I die. I'm just not going to sit here until everything falls apart and everything goes wrong. I'm going to do something about it. I mean, we can set a house while it's burning down and say, well, I think it's going to get fixed. I think it's going to get fixed. And then finally, when the walls are calling down, the roof's falling on your head, well, I think I'll do something. It may be too late. If you see the situation, you need to do something about it. You've got to exert the energy. You've got to go after it. And why? Because we love God.
Yes.
That's why. Because God requires us to love Him with all of our strength. And that means when we don't always feel like it, we still love Him. Good comments. Anybody else? And you've got to go after it. It is forcefulness. You've got to reach out. You've got to go after it. We are too passive in our Christian walk. We just sit back. We think, well, God will come on His time. We don't want to force God. We say, well, this will happen. We don't want to force the Holy Ghost. We say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to push forward because I want it to really be the Holy Ghost. I don't want this to be me. I don't ever want to go out and just start speaking in tongues or letting my tongue go or do these things because I want it to be real. I want it to be the Holy Ghost. You know, you have to work with it. The Holy Ghost will fill you. I'm telling you that. He will, and you'll know the difference. But you've got to yield it. You can't clam up and just go, well, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. You've got to give. You've got to. I know that's hard. Those that experienced that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those that haven't, there's probably maybe an area there you're still worrying through. But I'm telling you, just yield to God. Here I am, Lord. Everything I am is yours. All right. That's tough. Any other comment before we finish this last one? D, to love God with all your strength means that you must labor in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. I believe that is to you, Miss Hannah Woods. Aren't you glad? That's a little hillbilly slang there. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad that the labors I perform do not go unrewarded. God never asks you to give your energy that He won't provide the result. He will give the reward. Our labors, our trials, our struggles, the energy that you put forth for the kingdom of God, I promise you that God will reward you for it. I'm not sitting here saying, well, just do this, 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 this. God says, if you do it, I'll meet you there. I'll bless you for doing it. That's what Brother Al said. If you're cold, rub your hands together. I promise you, God will meet you. You start shouting. You start raising the hand. I mean, I saw Sister Mazelle back there this morning worshiping God. And I know she's tired. She's getting older. Oh, she's getting older. And forgive me. I'm sorry. She is getting older. And life, it's the way the body does. Your body begins to break down as you get older. But I'm telling you, I watched her this morning. I stood and seen my sister begin, and I saw with Brother Knox begin to worship God. She began to rub her hands together. And I seen the power of God and the joy flood her face. And it gave me courage to watch my sister and the Lord be blessed by God.
Amen.
Why? Because she was willing to rub her hands together.
Amen.
Even though her body may not have felt like it, she did it anyway. Why? Because she loves God. That's right. Romans, Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 10 through 12. I'm going to finish it up here this afternoon. If we give our labor to God, He will bless us. We use the illustration about our daily task. This labor he's talking about, I hope you don't have your church cap on here. It's not all just labors in the church. And I hope you don't have just your secular hat on and saying, well, it's just going to work or going to impressions or going to Sir Guy's custom cabinets and woodworking or going to the Washington Utilities. It is laboring everywhere, every avenue, everything. We need to see that our labors are not in vain, whether it's here. It's as much important for Brother Gordon to sort those bolts and impressions as it is when he's power washing this building. They're equal plane. We look at them oftentimes and say, well, one's higher than another because this is a spiritual activity and this is a secular. We don't need to do that. We must not do that because you will separate it. You will not see that every avenue of life is loving God with all of your strength. Your labors are not in vain. I hope this has helped. I know there's a lot and it's been such a long time since we went through them. For love God with all your heart. Love God with all your heart by keeping His commandments. By acknowledging His existence, by repenting and fleeing of wicked deeds, by changing your speech. To love God with all of your soul, with your things. To love God with your soul means to put God first above you, your family, and your friends. To love Him with your soul, deny Himself, to bear His reproach, the reproach of Christianity, and to follow Him. To love God with all your soul means to give your life in service to God and to others. To love God with all your soul means be willing to suffer for Christ. It means that you will be subject to authority, that you will not draw back from God, that you will obey the truth and love the brethren. To love God with all your mind. To love God with all your mind means that you have been enlightened to God and to His calling, that you have a desire to know Him more, to know more about Christ. With all your mind means to stop doing wicked deeds and to think differently about those wicked deeds. Do you know, that one right there resonates home with my family. I had a lot of family who left wicked deeds, but they talked about them like the good old days. We should never do that. To love God with all your mind means you allow your mind to become morally alert. Godly in conduct of manner of living. Love God with all your mind means you know, wish to refute arguments, theories, reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. To love with God with all your strength means you yield your talents and abilities to God. You yield your body in the service of the Lord. You give your energy and you become forceful and a doer of the Word. Love God with all your strength means that you are willing to labor for God. I hope this helped. I hope it just gave you a little bit of thought, some areas. Let's take off our thinking, our church caps and religious caps and secular caps, and let's just put on Christianity and put on Christ and walk in Him. Any comment or question? I think we've had a good day. The Spirit of the Lord's been here this day. Hallelujah. Let's stand, please. That would be great, Brother Woods. Amen.